Let me know when you're ready, Jay.
I am ready, sir.
All right.
Welcome to the Athletic NBA Show, Monday through Friday on the Athletic Podcast Network.
And it's another edition of Hoops Adjacent on the Athletic NBA Show. David Aldrich here in hot as hell DC. Actually, it's not that hot. It's not that hot yet. It just feels hot to me. Anyway.
Hey, we got a cool breeze out here. I'm just saying.
Just shut up. I don't want to hear that.
Shut up.
Why are your A's talking to Portland?
Right. And Las Vegas.
And Las Vegas. Right, they taking a fact finding trip.
All up and down the West Coast. Loosies.
Man, I tell you what, though. We got to talk about the Dubs, and we will talk about that. And a whole bunch of NBA playoff stuff with our guest this week, man. Let me tell you something. This dude, Marcus, when I got to NBA TV and tournament, this dude was one of the first guys to say, yo, anything you need, you know, and I'd known Smitty forever, you know, back from the playing days, but, you know, just good people, man. And taking time off of vacation to talk to us today, if you can believe that. Our man, Steve Smith, NBA champion and all-star. Smitty, what's up, man?
Oh, DA, I appreciate that intro. But Marcus, as you know, I got a chance to work with the legend. So it was our pleasure having DA. And DA, you know, you left an impression. Everybody still misses you, but so happy with everything you've done, the next chapter. But we miss you around at NBA TV.
Man, I miss you guys terribly, terribly.
Hey, hey, listen, I met Smitty for the first time with our guy, Sekou.
Yes, of course.
And you was automatically a play cousin at that point. I was like, look at you. He was one of us. So you always been the homie. I love it.
I appreciate that, Marcus. And, you know, it still hurts my heart with my man, Sekou. And yeah. Miss him to death, Marcus. Yeah. And D.A., just miss him to death, boy.
Yeah, we all do, man. He was people. Just good people, man. You know, I mean,
yep.
In all ways. Smitty, I got to tell you, man. So last week, and this is before I asked you to come on the show, I'm just scrolling through YouTube, and I see dude showing videos of current dudes. Like, I don't know if it was Luka or – I can't remember if it was Luka or – Porzingis, but one of them was doing the Smitty on the baseline. And so I was like,
you know,
man, who was the first guy that stole the Smitty from you?
You know, the craziest thing is Shaq, if you go back, did the Smitty in an all-star game. But I would say the guy who probably did it the most was Chris Paul. He started, you know, doing it a lot. And it's just have grown over the years. Now you got Jokic, big man doing the Smitty, so obviously the game has changed. To have a move named after you after all these years, and obviously, I talk about the guys from my neighborhood, Richard Dobbs, and also you remember Fred Cofield. He played for the Knicks for a long time. He's from Michigan. I kind of took the Smitty from those two guys. It was a different combination. One kind of went real quick. One was with a hop, and I just kind of put my own spin on it, and it's been working for a long time, D.A. When you have bad knees and you slow, you got to come up with a move so you can get some separation. And that was the Smitty. And I just love it. I mean, kids ask me how to do it. I'm watching everybody do it. It has grown and it's kept growing throughout these years.
The Smitty needs to be, like, instituted in clubs nationwide because it also could double as a dance move, like with a drink in your hand and you don't spill it. You know what I'm saying? Like, I think the Smitty is a universal truth that we all need to just embrace.
When you got to pivot from one person to the other.
You know what I'm saying? Like, hey.
I'm out.
You did taught us all game. You ain't even know it. On the hoop court and all.
Right. No question. It is immortalized like the Sham God. I mean, you know, when you got a move named after you, you know what I'm saying? Like, you immortalized, dude.
I know. It's funny when people say, this is the guy who started and invented the Smitty, these young guys look at me like, oh, for real? Who are you? That's when you know you're old, D.A.
What? Are you kidding?
You know you're old.
Oh my God.
Well, you know, the kids don't know. I mean, obviously, but the one good thing is I love it. I mean, just to talk to these young kids, and I think that's the next step, DA. You know, I think even for you guys, to challenge you guys and myself, because we love the game. You guys, we all see it and love it from a different place. I just don't think we do enough good job of our history. And I'm not talking about who's the best.
Right.
Just our history of the game, you know, and I, you know, we gonna always have that conversation. Who's the best center? Who's this? who's better, MJ, Michael, Kobe. But I just think of just the Marcus, D.A. Y'all need to come up with like the SAT. It's the history. The history, like the SAT, you got to take it, because I think, like in everything in our culture, I don't think we can forget our history, because without our history, and I'm not including myself, I'm just saying, I the one thing I would tell you guys, my favorite moment of the All-Star game is going to hang out with all the older guys.
Sure.
Just to hear and everything they did because of, you know, the sacrifices. I mean, you know it, D.A. Marcus, you know it. All the things from a financial standpoint, from those guys, the way they traveled to now, I think we can't never forget our history. For me, I would never forget it. I have my mentor that went to my same high school in my neighborhood, Spencer Haywood. He keeps me on my toes and forever, even though I never had the chance to come out of high school. I just always thank him for everything he did, for allowing the game and guys to be able to have that option, to be able to leave, you know, out of high school or out of college early.
You know, you're saying this, and, you know, this is not even a shameless book plug, D.A., but I just wrote a book about this, and about, like, the history of NBA dynasties. And to be honest, I've been covering basketball all my life. A lot of this stuff I didn't even know. It's like we don't even know just how central like back in the day was. It's always kind of cast as this, like, yo, that was back when it wasn't so real. Exactly. And now it's real, right? But the truth is, like, none of this stuff is happening without what was before. I mean, like, literally, the league does not happen. Like, it doesn't happen without some of these pioneers changing paradigms and how people think. There's no LeBron if somebody didn't change the perception of who handles the ball.
Right.
And that, like, before right, it was always right. The little dude. Like, mm-hmm. somebody had to think outside the box and say, wait, the small dude doesn't have to handle the ball. Like, that's a whole paradigm shift that doesn't happen without the guys before. And you know what? I do think it's a disservice we do to the game. Like, people don't know where a lot of this stuff began. Like, we probably know the mic and drill, but that's about it. Like, you know, we don't even know what that's from, right?
Don't even know who Mikan is.
Don't know who Mikan is, right? The whole league was based on Mikan, right? Like, that's
right.
And just the include, like, people don't understand the difficulty and the disregard Black players had. We can't understand it, to be honest, Smitty. Like, we don't even know this, right? I don't know a world where Black people weren't allowed to play basketball, right? Or disregarded for playing basketball. And they literally had to change the mind of a nation about whether Black people should play basketball or not. Like, that's, we got to teach this stuff. It means so much to the future of the game that people understand that, not to mention, these people deserve their due, man.
Totally correct. I totally agree.
You mentioned All-Star, and I swear, Smitty, one of the great joys of my life was sitting in a room somewhere during All-Star weekend and just listening to Sam Jones and just listening to Tiny Archibald, just listening to them. Like, I had no agenda. I just sat there and listened to them tell stories. And it was just, oh my God. It was just so, it was my honor. You know what I mean? To just sit there and listen to them talk about the things that they had to go through and the things that they dealt with on a regular basis. And the people don't know how great Sam Jones was. They don't know how great Casey Jones was.
Sam Jones, you know what I
mean?
Bucket.
You know what I mean? Like, are you nuts?
People be talking about that Celtics squad like it was some kind of like CYO team.
Right.
Hey, Marcus, I tell you all this story. I'd be out in the backyard shooting. My dad come out there. Would you bank the ball like Sam Jones? I'm like, Dad, it ain't cool to bank it. You got to bank the ball like Sam Jones. Quit shooting it all net. I'm like, okay, Dad, you got to bank the ball. But like D.A. said, I mean, to sit in the room for me, you know, I always say I was blessed, D.A. I grew up in Michigan, and I got a chance because of their – not because they were superstars, but because of their character and their personality. I could walk up to Isaiah Thomas, Joe Dumars, George Gervin, Spencer Haywood, and they didn't know who I was, and they gave you time. They gave you time. And I know life has changed right now because, you know, all the things are going on. But I could touch George Gervin, Magic Johnson, Joe Dumars, John Sally. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Touch these guys, talk to them, and play pickup against these guys when I was in high school. You couldn't tell me nothing, Marcus. I'm playing against Magic Johnson and Mark McGuire, Isaiah Thomas, and Joe Dumars because they really believed in coming around and being in the city. They didn't have to come playing these pickup games, these summer league games, or take the time, but that's what they did, and I think it affected especially my generation with myself, Derek Coleman, Chris Webber, and Jalen Rose, you know, and all who came to Detroit. Like you said, Marcus, it was Magic Johnson and George Gervin. They 6'9 and 6'8. They handled the basketball. So that made me, Derek, Jalen, and Chris stand at our side. We can play point guard. And so everybody wanted to be Magic. My nickname in high school was Irvin Gervin. You couldn't tell me nothing. My high school coach gave me that nickname. Because I said, I'm Magic and I'm George. I can handle and shoot. But like you said, Marcus, somebody allowed Magic Johnson at 6'9 to play point guard. And it just changed the dynamics of the game.
Yeah.
How you get both though? That seems like a little overkill. Irvin and Gervin? No, I would be like, hold on, give me one. Slow down. That's too much pressure.
Man, so Smitty, you gotta tell folks about the run at St. Cecilia's, because I think that's just legendary in Detroit. You know, just I can't even imagine who was like watching, playing, looking around and seeing who else is in the gym with you.
And who had the camera? We need to see this.
And I thought it was normal. You know what I mean? Okay, you growing up in Detroit, here's John Sally, Rodman, Isaiah, Joe Dumars, Mark McGuire playing at St. Cecilia. You know, we're not pros. And then I get the chance to see them play against me, Derek Coleman, Doug Smith, Anderson Hunt, Mark Macon. And then it seemed like every one of us, Marcus and DA, was going in the lottery. You know what I mean? Derek Coleman went the number one pick. And then we had, and then this is talking about Detroit, but I'm just going to add, then there's the Glenn Rices from Flint, and then Sagnol is Mark Macon, and then Andre Rison, and then it was so many people, Roy Marble, Roy Tarpley. I mean, you know what Marcus did? That's a book. You know what I mean? I would say from 1980, because that was kind of when we all was Magic Johnson versus Larry Bird. We all went crazy about 93. It was just unbelievable, like D.C., like New York, like Chicago, like L.A. But it was the point where Derek went to first pick. I went to fifth pick. Doug went to sixth pick. Yeah. And then next thing you know, is Victor Alexander, Willie Burton, Glenn Rice. It just wouldn't stop. Terry Mills, Grant Long. I mean, it was a span of about 10 years where we were getting 15, 20, 25 guys in pros. You know what I mean? And it was weird because the guy played 5-6 years. You say, oh, you know what I mean? What happened? Because he's from Detroit. He's supposed to be a starter.
Yeah.
We had B.J. Armstrong, Nigel Knight. I mean, the list, it just keeps going and going and going.
That's amazing. That's amazing, man. I just can't, you know, it's just amazing to me. Like, that's our history. You know what I mean? Like, that's our history, you know, writ large and just there. And whether it was Detroit or Philly or D.C., everybody's got the same story in their gym. You know what I mean? Like, it's the summer coalition here in D.C., the urban coalition here in D.C. I mean, everybody's got the run, and it's that's our history. And I don't think the young – well, I sound so old, but I just don't know if the younger guys understand this. Like, this is what you always gave back. It was a part of giving back, right? I mean, it was a part of showing that this is part of our heritage in this city. You know, there's history
here. You just came back and played, like, you know, and you talk about facilities. St. Cecilia, you do a layup. D.A. Marcus, if you go too fast, you're going to hit the wall.
Yeah.
And if you stand at the three-point line, you're going to hit the ceiling because it's not tall enough. The out-of-bounds was a pole. I mean, and then the legend for me, D.A., was like, hey, man, there's a 6'8 guy in the D.C. area named Dennis Scott that can flat-out shoot it. Because we didn't have so much of internet, you know, and Instagram, I play against Dennis Scott, you know, in March Madness. I'm like, oh, shoot, he's just as tall as me. He shooting to the end. But we didn't get a chance to just, like, grow up from 7 years old to 17 playing each other throughout. So it was, like, when you saw them, you got a chance to say, okay, he can play, he can go. I'll tell you a story, T.A. and Marcus. We playing in, I think it was Carr Classic something, Oregon State versus Michigan State. I don't know who this brother is. He said, hey, I'm Gary Payton. I said, okay, I'm Steve Smith.
Town biz, let's go.
And he's like, I'm from Oakland. I said, I'm from Detroit. And we've been friends and competitors ever since. But I had no idea who Gary Payton was.
Right.
Because we just didn't have the publications, the internet. And I left that game saying, oh, he can go. And I'm sure he left the same game saying the same thing. But no scouting report. You just go hooped. And he's like, I'm from Oakland. And I'm like, well, why are you in Oregon? Because you know, that was my city.
That's funny.
We've been friends ever since with Brian Shaw. You hear the, you know, and GP's like, hey, man, we got a kid named Jason Kidd. He's up next.
Yeah.
He's up next. So and I couldn't wait to see him. You know what I mean? The J Kidd. And I say, yeah, y'all were right. I mean, that's where I say the history just has to keep going. And just about a lot of these players, not which we talk about the stars, but there's so many other players that their name still needs to live on.
Sure.
Discover the latest collections from David Yurman, as seen recently, styled on basketball stars like Jaime Jaquez, Jalen Green, D'Angelo Russell, and others. David Yurman is a celebrated American jewelry company inspired by the beauty of art, architecture, and the natural world. The story of David Yurman begins in New York City, with David, a sculptor, and his wife Sybil, a painter and ceramicist. When the artists began collaborating, their goal was to simply make beautiful designed objects to wear. Over 40 years later, the Yurmans and their son, Evan, continue to redefine American luxury jewelry with timeless, modern collections for women and men defined by inspiration, innovation, consummate craftsmanship, and cable, the brand's artistic signature. David Yurman's collections are available on davidyurman.com.
Like my guy John McClendon, who basically started the fast break,
and the four corners,
yeah. What was he at? Yep. Was he Central or North Carolina State? Was that North Carolina Central? One of them, like,
It was Tennessee State. I thought it was when he won the national titles.
Yeah,
right?
He won the titles. Tennessee State.
Yeah. In fact, I just watched a documentary that was on during the Final Four on that team that. It's just an incredible team. But every city has the same story. Like Marcus, I could, you know, I think of like McClyman's and you're like Bill Russell, Frank Robinson. You're like, what?
Silas.
Paul Silas at one school?
With the Black Panthers, like right. Like it was going down.
Right.
It was going down.
Oh my God. Yeah.
We all got the stories.
So Smitty, let's transition if we can, because I know obviously people know that you lived in the Atlanta area for many years and have followed the Hawks. And I just wanted to ask you, like, man, what is it like watching this group kind of really come into its own? This, and they're so young, and it to just have kind of this poise about them to be able to not only have this great run, but then to go into Madison Square Garden when it's full for the first time and just stare them down and get a dub on the road.
You know, D.A., I look at it, and obviously the coaching change, you know, in March 1st when Nate McMillan took over. And we've all known Nate McMillan has been a defensive-minded coach. That was the stickler that everybody wants to put on him. But I think Nate's been a defensive-minded coach because that's the type of teams he had to adjust. Ask the Indiana Pacers. I know they wish they had Nate McMillan back in Indiana. But he's in Atlanta, and when he took over, it was not his defense. He's always going to preach defense. And why not? Because you win championships if you can defend. But I thought it was his offensive mind, the genius of Nate McMillan. If you watch the Hawks play now, off the ball is so much movement while there's pick and rolls on the ball. Mm-hmm. There's down screen, flare screen, back doors, off the ball. And I think that's where they struggled. It was everybody getting a chance to load up on the pick and roll or load up on Trae Young.
Yeah.
But the way he has guys moving off the ball has been fantastic. And I think the next thing is the confidence he's given them is, you know, going into fourth quarters, they would have leagues and they would just lose it. But I think right now is his adjustments throughout the season. And obviously you say, okay, that's good. But how will these young guys, you know, in the playoffs? I know it was just one game. That's just a short sample.
Yeah.
But I thought they were, like you said it, they could have won or lost that game, but they were poised. And what I love about it is the guys who have really stepped up. We know Trae Young is that superstar for them. We know John Collins. And, you know, and DeAndre Hunter. But those guys were hurt.
Yeah. Yeah.
Clint Capella and Kevin Huerter was the key to me. And the reason why I say that was Bogdanovich was out for a bunch of games. DeAndre Hunter is out. And then also Cam Reddish has been out a bunch of games. And I thought Kevin Huerter and Clint Capella held down the fort until those guys got healthy. And then along with Nate McMillan and his staff, the way they're playing, he has every guy, which is DA and Marcus. I haven't seen this a lot in young guys, kind of like the Golden State Warriors with Mark Jackson, starring in their roles, accepting their roles at an early age, because no matter what, you're the man at your team in high school, you're the man in college, and you always feel, I can do more. He got me doing 2 out of the 5 things I'm good at. Right now, Nate McMillan has been believing in, do your job, start in your role, and we'll be in games and we'll win games. And I know it was one game, but Julius Randle was averaging 37, 12, and 6 on like 58, 50, and 85 from the line in the series. I mean, in the 3 games versus Atlanta, he struggled, but I thought it was the adjustments and the details and the assignment. They were not going to let Julius Randle beat them going left, and then they were coming when he came, and he was going to have to make the next play. He had 4 assists. He had 15 points, 12 rebounds. I'm looking for the adjustments to Julius Randle, but they had a game plan for him. I mean, to me, it's the Knicks bench versus the Hawks starters, because the bench of the New York Knicks are potent with Alex Burks, Gibson, and Quickly. I don't know the adjustment Tibbs will make, but pretty soon you might have to sub Quickly, because he got to get them guys in. And I think for the Hawks, they play sound basketball and they don't make mistakes. And for a team, I think you look at it, DA and Marcus run right to the turnovers when a young team, their first game in the playoffs, they only had 6. Right. And to me, that was the difference. They might have more, but it was no jitters for them. Like you said, they were poised and only 6 turnovers. That means they gave themselves a chance.
I mean, it's one game, right? Like you said, you know, but I do think you can learn things from this one game. And Smitty, you've been around basketball a long time. You just documented the legends you've been around. Was one born in game one? Because I saw Trae Young standing on the same court that Jordan once dominated, that Reggie Miller gave a choke sign on. I saw this young dude standing on the court talking head to the Knicks fan. I mean, are you serious? And it's not even just that, like, that was the culmination. But we know who Trae is. He's a shooter, right? He's got the range. He lived in the paint on the Knicks. I was like, yo, who is this dude? Did we watch somebody get something get bored here?
Hey, Mark, is what I love was that he was playing a game, which is his first, you know, appearance in the playoffs, talking to the fans, and also executing. That was vet-like. That was, you know, guys that have been around 10 years. And then also at the end of the game, you know, DA, you look at him and over his years, I said, is he going to bail them out? Jumper. Right. Not at all. And right. I think that last play just showed you that he grew up. I mean, he forced his way. They were pushing him left. He gave a little juke, Marcus DA, but when he went back right, it was like, I'm going to take my little shoulder and blow through you.
Yeah,
and not around you. I'm gonna go through you to make you open up, and I'm gonna touch you, and I'm gonna hit you, and you open up, and then I got to the basket and shot a floater. You said it best, and you know I love talking, and I think that when you're in the Garden, it's gonna make you or break you. There's just certain arenas gonna make you or break you, and I think we're starting to see the Trae Young, one of the greats, was born that last game, and see how long he can last.
I loved it. I loved it.
He wasn't scared, that's for sure.
I love talking big shit in the Garden on the road. There's nothing better than that. You know what I mean? There's nothing better than that.
Nothing at all. There's nothing at all.
Man.
When you're watching these you know, these series play out, you know, across the league, it feels like as much as we've talked about bigs and these wings and guys like Julius Randle and Jokic MVP, is this still going to be determined by the guards? Because, you know, you're watching Dame, you watched Denver struggling game one without the guards, you know, you got Chris Paul, who somehow still manages to look amazing even while he can't dribble with his right hand, right? Like his shoulder's falling off and he's still, but like in the end, is playoff basketball just gonna come down to like, do you have a guard who can get you some buckets? Because if that's the case, that's gotta bode well for a lot of teams.
you know, I think Marcus, take it to the next step. It's going to come down to old school. Can a guard execute? Can a guard get you in the offense? Can a guard stay like a coach on the floor? Mm-hmm. Because I think right now, as we're seeing, is it's not what we've been seeing, you know, throughout the regular season. Have y'all checked the scores? It's 107, right? 105.
Exactly.
That's back in the 80s and 90s. I mean, you're looking at it's good. No one's going these blowouts anymore because every possession matters right now. And we love the three ball. But guess what? You miss the three ball right now. The game is starting to go back to size. I mean, I'm looking at Capella, John Collins. It used to be one big around four smalls.
Yeah,
not anymore. The Los Angeles Lakers might be one of the biggest teams. When you got Drummond, AD, LeBron, KCP, and then, a small Dennis Schroeder.
Yeah,
that's not what we've been talking about. It's shooting threes, but I think small ball is kind of fading away because it's starting to be rugged, rebound, defend. And then these bigs are doing a good job. I'm watching these bigs now. They are switching out on guard and staying in front of them. And doing a decent job.
Right. So, do you think the Lakers are in trouble?
I think the Lakers right now, they're not in trouble. I think the Lakers got to find a way and say, we can't come out and be cute. Yeah. I think the Lakers are being cute. I mean, the Lakers got to be rugged.
That's such a great way to put it.
Big. Yeah. I mean, you can't be cute. I love the Phoenix Suns team, but let's just look at, DeAndre Ayton. The only guy that's probably over 6'10".
Right.
Other than that, Mikal Bridges, Jay Crowder. And I love their heart, but there's no way in the world you cannot tell me you can't dominate in the paint on every matchup other than the Chris Paul and the guards. Yeah. They are bigger than the Phoenix Suns. From LeBron, AD, and Drummond to start the game off, that's Mikal Bridges, Jay Crowder, and DeAndre Ayton. I think you should dominate in the paint. They came out being cute. And I think there's no way in the world they can be cute. It's got to be ugly in the paint. But if you want to play the cute game with the Phoenix Suns, they're going to win the cute game.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I agree. And I can't believe how bad AD was in game one. It was just awful. You know, and I know he said it afterwards, but that to me is that's the guy that's got to, like Shaq says, got to dominate. You know what I mean? He's got to put 35 to 40 on those guys every night and make it uncomfortable for them. To put smalls on him.
DA? If you don't put up 35, you got to be so deep in the paint where they're coming to double.
Yeah.
And it creates opportunities for everybody else.
Right.
Because sometimes I look at it, we look at numbers. I'm like, if he draw a double team every trip down, because, I mean, if Aiden is guarding Drummond, that means there's a Jay Crowder guarding AD or Mikal Bridges. And if they decide to put Aiden on AD, that means Drummond has Jay Crowder or Mikal Bridges or Devin Booker. There's no way that you shouldn't dominate the paint until you make the Phoenix Suns go bigger or you get in foul trouble. Because I look at it, if DeAndre Aiden gets in foul trouble, the Phoenix Suns is a different team.
Yeah.
It feels like their issue is they're force-feeding Drummond. It feels like I kind of want more Gasol. DeAndre Ayton is kind of bullying dudes down there.
Yeah.
He had 8 offensive rebounds. You got to be able to go at him. But I feel like if the Lakers are like, "Yo, Andre Drummond, go back at him. Don't let him do you like that." Then you play it in Phoenix hands.
No,
I totally agree, Marcus, and that's where I think the adjustments come in. Oh, okay, Drummond, we don't need you to go at him. We need you to set a cross pick and make them switch and AD get the guy that's on you. We got to be creative. AD and LeBron, somebody has to live in that post. When you're a good post passer like AD and LeBron, why not accept the double teams? And if it comes, you kick it out and the ball moves around. Shot goes up, you get it off the glass, and we're going to have more possessions than you because of rebounding and size. And then after that, once we establish that, then we can play cute. Then we can shoot threes. Then we can do what we want to do. But if you go and play the cute ball with Phoenix Suns, they're going to spread you out. And Chris Paul is going to control the game because that's the type of player he is.
Right.
That the game will be controlled by Chris Paul if you're allowing. But the Lakers got to control the game with their advantage as well.
I know we get killed for talking about LA teams all the time, but you know, what the hell? I'll just get killed again. You think the Clippers are in big trouble or in just a little bit of trouble?
I think they're in a little bit of trouble. I think they wake up. They got hit in the mouth. But you, just like you said it, Marcus, just like you said, Luka is not scared of anybody. And that's okay. He's just not. We're not talking about talent. We're talking about he's not scared of anybody.
No, he's not.
And Rick Carlisle, I don't know if gets enough credit as one of the elite coaches in the league, because I'm looking at Clippers on paper and Mavericks on paper, and no game is won on paper.
Right.
And I'm saying, I don't know how Dallas is in this game and controlling this game when you start talking about talent level versus talent level.
Yeah. I'm not a big believer in setting a tone and sending a message all and all that nonsense. I don't think that really, I mean, I could be wrong, but I thought Luka posting up Beverly in the first minute of the game, scoring,
just going
you're
after
too
his life.
Small. You're too small. I thought that was a great way to start a series.
It's a message that I'm not scared. I'm not scared. And that's it. And I think that's where the Clippers now got to pick up and defensively harass. You're going to have to make Luka. If he's going to be the pseudo point guard, well, you're going to get, you have to get harassed for 40 minutes.
Right. Right. Multiple guys. You got to put Kawhi on him, don't you? I mean, you have to put Kawhi on him, don't you?
And I think the problem is, D.A., is you put Kawhi on him, and then there's the pick and roll, and then he gets Kawhi off of him.
Yeah,
you
know okay.
And I think that's where it's been tough. You got to put somebody on him.
Right.
And somebody got to take that challenge.
He's got to see
bodies. I love what
Rondo
was doing. I love what Rondo was doing. Rondo was battling.
Yeah, yeah. I just think he's got to see multiple bodies. You're right, because it was just so – he was comfortable. He was really comfortable.
There you go. He was too comfortable.
You can't make him comfortable. You got to make him uncomfortable. Is there any of the other series?
But I would say, D.A., Marcus, I would say out of all the teams, who's in trouble, the Utah Jazz, in my opinion, is in trouble.
You don't think Donovan returning changes it for them? Changes the scope of the series?
I think it does. I love Donovan Mitchell, one of my favorite players, but will his time and rhythm be there? You know, this is not the regular season. You know, this is the playoffs, and he's a great player. But if you come out whenever he, you know, tends to play, it looks like this Memphis Grizzlies team, they are not scared either.
Not at
so
all.
I think they are. Dylan Brooks, it looks like he's a throwback from the 80s and 90s.
Yep.
Yeah, he is ready to play. And I think what's scary for teams is Jaren Jackson Jr. hasn't caught his rhythm yet because he's been out so much.
Yeah.
If he catches his rhythm, then they become even scarier.
So you think he can play with next to JV? That was one thing I wondered about. Not that he can't shoot the three, but I don't know. Do you want him shooting that many threes? I don't know. I could be wrong.
I think you don't want him shooting that many threes, but I think he has to space.
Yeah,
because of playing with Valanciunas. I would love to see Jaren at the five with slow-mo at the four at times.
Right, right.
Because
then
that has Jaren down there on the block or lifted. And then that gives you a little bit more versatility. But I understand you want to start Jonas because the way he's played, and you want to start, you know, your future.
Yeah.
And your second best player, Jaren Jackson, or first best player, however way you look at it. Right now, I'll say second to John Morant.
Yeah. And Valanciunas, I mean, he's been good against Gobert, too. I mean, he's been good, period.
That's what makes him so good. They can play either way.
Yeah.
Like, they could big you to death. They can take you inside when you want to play brutal, and then they could spread you out. And they don't shoot that well, but when they get hot, man, they don't miss.
They don't miss. And I think they gave those young guys, I think the play-in games gave them, you know, that was playoff atmosphere for them.
Yeah.
And then Desmond Bane, I think he's ready. Dylan Brooks is ready. We know Ja's ready. We know Valanciunas is ready. I think when Jaren gets ready, and when I think Slow-Mo is having a great year,
sure,
I just think. And then Xavier Tillman's not scared. Everybody they sub in, it was a kid, Melton, D'Anthony Melton, he's not scared. No one's scared. Grayson Allen is not scared. They don't have a team that's scared. They just, like you said, Marcus, they don't make a lot of shots, but they get hot at the right time.
Yeah, they definitely represent Memphis well, right? they show up for Grind City. I'm gonna take you out east, and I watch Philly. you know, they had a little bit of a fight with the Wiz, you know, with T.A.'s Wiz.
The Wiz, they
had a heart check a little bit.
Yeah, they're a couple players short, but they scrap, you know, they scrap.
Nah, they were scrappy. And then, you know, Boston, you know, they made, you know, Brooklyn played with their food a little bit. And then when they were ready to stop playing with them. I'm just looking forward to this Philly Brooklyn showdown. Did we learn anything from
Philly Brooklyn?
Philly was looking a little shook for a while there. That's what I wondered.
I'm not talking about Philly. I ain't talking about Philly.
DA has been put Brooklyn out of the East Finals. He's like, they're not going to make it. I just say,
Smitty, you can disagree with me and it's fine. You played, I didn't. But I look at Milwaukee, I see a team that is tailor-made to play. The best way you could possibly play Brooklyn is with personnel like Milwaukee's got, to me.
Yeah, and
you run counter to what they do. Absolutely, yeah.
And I think LaMarcus Aldridge not being there is going to hurt in so many ways because things are not going well. You have a guy on offense that you can throw it down to, and he can get a bucket. And then I think his size just being there, and I think the combination of him and DeAndre Jordan and Blake Griffin and Jeff Green at the five spot. But without him, it makes you have to go exclusively Blake Griffin. That's going to be a tough task. Blake versus Lopez, Blake versus Giannis, or Blake versus Bobby Portis. I think it puts a lot of pressure on him. And, you know, I know they don't play DeAndre Jordan a lot. I don't know what's going on, but you're going to have to find a way to have his big body out of there because Milwaukee is huge in the front line when you start talking about Giannis and Bobby Portis and Brook Lopez. They play big and they play hard.
Yeah. Plus they finally got Brook's big butt down in the paint like it should be. He's so big. I don't how can you not post him up? He's huge. He's an enormous human being.
Have you seen that quarter three? What are you talking about?
Oh my
God.
That
quarter three? That thing is money.
I get it. Space the floor. I get it.
He has just changed everything, Drew Holiday, for them. Yeah. Okay, you need a lockdown defender? I'll do it.
Yep.
You need somebody to penetrate and be a facilitator? I'll do it.
Yep.
You need somebody to score and I can go one-on-one? We're not posting up enough. I'll take my guard and post up. I think he's that. Whatever you need, he's filling that void for them that they didn't have, you know, before with the Milwaukee Bucks from that standpoint. And I think it puts so much pressure on Chris Middleton. Chris Middleton's like, thank you. Give me a couple plays off.
Right.
And then now I can be that guy. So I think that combination of Chris Middleton and Drew Holiday, it's tough right now.
Takes pressure off Giannis,
Bucks
too.
It's going to be tough. It takes pressure off the Giannis. But, yeah, you said it. I've been screaming, Brook Lopez, please post up. I don't post up and care if you miss or make.
Doesn't matter.
It just changes the dynamic because he's so big.
He's enormous. I remember when he was in Brooklyn and Lionel Hollins was a coach there and the train was like, I know everybody wants him to shoot threes, but do people realize how big this, and he said a word I'm not going to say, even though it's a podcast, but just people understand how big this dude is. You know what I mean? Like you got to give him some touches in the paint, you know, I mean, you have to. And to me, they have the kind of personnel. I'm not saying they're going to beat Brooklyn. I'm saying if you were going to put a team together that could beat Brooklyn, it would be that team. You know what I mean?
I don't know if they can score enough. Get buckets? Giannis is going to have to shoot. But man, that Brooklyn team just flipped a switch.
Over. They're great.
That's ridiculous.
They're great. Don't get me wrong. They are an insanely good team. But I don't know. We'll see.
I think in that matchup, Marcus and DA, Giannis has to be a bully, but I say he has to be a bully from posting up versus trying to go from 3-point line downhill. I just think it takes so much out of him, and you get used to that. Yeah. I mean, no matter what, coming downhill, because he's playing bully ball, he's not coming downhill pulling up at the free throw line. He's not coming downhill spinning and doing anything. So same mentality, post up, get fouled, and if he can make his free throws in the fourth quarter, it stabilized Milwaukee. Because if not, then now you become a team in the fourth quarter where do you go to get a bucket besides Chris Middleton and Drew Holiday? Because if Giannis is not getting to that free throw line and knocking them down, then it becomes you playing Brooklyn. They have – that's the one thing I tell you about Brooklyn, DA. you can't foul none of those guys.
That's
they
true.
Shoot right. 85, shoot 90%.
Right.
They the hope you foul them, huh?
Right.
Like, yeah. Who do you foul on the Brooklyn Nets?
Right, when you need
between those three.
Right. It's hard, man. They're all great.
It's going to be hard.
They're all great. I wonder if they – well, I don't know. We're getting ahead of ourselves in terms of this series. But
yes, we are. I know Washington and Boston are saying, are you kidding me? What about us?
I know. Well,
And I just think Boston, the only chance you got – I just hate it for Tatum because he has to get 35-plus.
Right.
I just think he has to. 35-plus.
To make
plus
the fourth quarter count.
Right.
Yes. And that's a lot of pressure. And then you're asking Kemba – he has to get 20, and Marcus Smart. And I think they can at times, but I don't know if they can at all at the same time.
But then they have to go on the other end and guard people that are unguardable. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Like, this is where Jalen is. The loss of Jalen hurts.
You can't play off of anybody.
The loss of Jalen hurts. I mean, the loss of Jalen, I think this is a better series. Obviously because he's good, but I'm just saying, Jalen Brown can defend at an elite level. Right. And he can score at elite level. That gives pressure on the Brooklyn Nets. But right now, they're just loading up on Jason Tatum.
Yeah.
Spring is the best time to add new challenges to your training just in time for summer and warmer days. I know I'm looking outside right now. Sun's out. Birds are chirping. It's time to start getting outside. I know that I like to get outside and play basketball with my kids. And honestly, I need to get into a fitness routine in order to keep up with these guys. And Peloton is there for me. Peloton's varying class lengths were designed with your training plan in mind. Personalize your workout, whether you'd like to add a 10-minute core session at the end of your strength class, or take a 60-minute power zone ride to increase your endurance. Peloton classes are designed to help focus on your needs and goals. Peloton's classes were made to challenge you. There are a variety of classes like boot camps, boxing, full body strength, or marathon training, all created to grow your skills or push you to improve in what you're already excelling in. Peloton's program and instruction push you to be your best. Their expert coaches and nonstop vibes will push you to new levels of strength and endurance, keeping you on your toes while giving you the professional coaching you need. Peloton has everything you need to get you where you're going. Whether you prefer to run indoors, row or ride at home, or strength train at the gym, Peloton has something for you. Get your head start on summer with Peloton at onepeloton.com.
So you're not worried at all about Philly that they had to actually fight against the Wizards in game one? You're not?
No, the Wizards, I mean, I feel so bad for the Wizards because Russ and Bradley Beal, they got to be, they got to be super on, and they're capable, but I just think they're going to need, as a series wears you down because it's so big. And then I just look at, no matter what you say about Ben Simmons, putting 6'10 on Russell Westbrook or 6'10 on Bradley Beal, it's going to be tough.
Right.
I mean, it's tough to score over those guys. And Russ is never going to look at him as he's 6'10. Russ going to look at him as he's 6'1.
Right.
But it's still going to be a tough task.
And they keep bringing size. That's the thing. Like you start with Simmons, then they bring Thibault up. Then they put Danny Green on him. You know what I mean? So he never gets a small guy he can post up. Never. In 40 minutes.
He's not getting one.
And
Doc is saying, no, Steph Curry won't be guarding.
Right. Exactly. Now, Beal figures it out and he can score mid range. So he's okay. He's going to get his 25, I think, because he gets fouled and he can make his free throws. I just think it's hard for Russ. And that's not a criticism of Russ at all. But Russ's strength is posting guys up three or four times, getting a couple and ones, getting it in transition. And Philly's so good defensively, they don't give you much in transition. And against the half court defense, it's just hard for him because he's always going against size. Always, he's got to shoot over size. It's just hard for him. It's hard, And they don't have another guy, to your point. They don't have a Middleton. If they had a Middleton playing the three, they'd have a chance in this series, but they don't. So that's the problem to me.
Yeah. And I look at Bertans, he has to make shots.
Yeah.
To give them a chance, he's going to have to make shots. And, Rui, he's not that type of shooter, but I like the way he plays. I mean, the key is when they bring Ish Smith, but when you bring Ish Smith in, they get smaller. And that's the problem, I think it is. They get smaller.
Yeah. So, you made a great point just now, like what they would need. So, Smitty, I got a question for you. All right, you back what? 27, 28 years old. We just put you in a time machine, brought you here. Which team you joining?
Which team I'm joining?
Yeah, which team would you want to join? Which team would you want to ride with?
I think for me, that's in the playoffs right now.
Yeah.
Yep.
Or just in general.
Nah, just join the playoffs and, you know, where you could make the best fit, you could win a championship or whatever. Like, what team needs a Smitty right now?
Well, I think for me is, even though I would say Lakers, you know, because of LeBron and AD, but I think, you know, to exclude them, I think Philadelphia. I think it's perfect. It's perfect because you have a Joel Embiid getting double teamed, and you have a Ben Simmons running a point at 6'10". Life should be easy for everybody else around them. You know what I mean? And, right. You know, I just think life should be easy for you getting shots. And it reminds me, Marcus, when I played with the Spurs, I'm just going to pressure up my guy and you can go past me all you want. Right. And you go in there with David Robinson and Tim Duncan because it makes you a better defensive player when you have those type of guys back there.
Yeah.
But I think Philly, anybody that's not a, you know, point guard or big, anybody that's a 2, 3, 4 will probably want to go to Philly and play alongside those guys if you can make plays. They need another guy that can make plays, you know, I think from the 2, 3, 4 spot.
You know who I was thinking? You probably don't like the location, but I was going to put you on the Jazz. Oh, man.
Put you on the Jazz. Nah, you weren't going to send me out there. But location matters. You weren't sending me out
there. That's still a thing. No.
They need another creator. Come on. They need another bucket.
No.
I like Salt Lake. I have fun in Salt Lake.
I used to go against these Grizzlies.
No, I'm not going out there. I'm okay with that one, Bob. You can send me to Oakland and San Francisco. You're not sending me to
Oakland. Yeah, they're in the playoffs. They're in the playoffs.
He could help. You know, Marcus, boy, he could help them now.
They'd be in the playoffs. Sure. Hey, if you pull up from the wing in the final minute, it ain't going to
be. That's exactly who could help them. Oh, my God. That would be nice. Plus, by the way, Marcus, let me ask you this, and Smitty, jump in on this. All right, so Bob Meyer says yesterday, this is on Monday, has a press conference. I love Bob. Bob says, we don't want to trade James Wiseman. What? We don't want to trade James Wiseman? What does that mean?
No.
What prompted him to make that statement?
You know what I mean? But it was
asked.
I mean,
he's the one, the piece that doesn't seem to fit. That's
we don't
like.
Want to trade James Wiseman as opposed to we're not trading James Wiseman. That just seemed a little, I don't know. Maybe I was reading too much into the verbiage there, but I don't know. It seemed a little odd to me.
I think that was a cracked door.
Yeah,
that was. They leave the door cracked a little bit. You don't want the flies in, Smitty, but you want a little air. That kind of crack right there. That's what they left open.
Oh man,
I tell you, if the way DA heard it, if I'm Wiseman's agent, that's the way I heard it. So I got to make a phone call and say, where are we? And we all know it's a business, but
yeah.
I just want to just ask the question, where are we? And I feel for Wiseman. You know, he didn't get a chance to play in college. And then obviously, you know, a lot put on his shoulders, injuries, COVID, health and safety protocol, I look at a young guy like that, no summer league,
yeah.
No training camp, you know, for all these rookies. So the ones who did perform, you take your hat off to them, but the ones who didn't, they get another year, in my opinion, especially for James Wiseman, who didn't get a chance to play at Memphis, with only for a few games. And I think with the year of training camp, with that group, you know how good he's going to be with Klay Thompson's back? Now you got real space.
Yeah,
I mean,
right.
Real space with Klay and Steph. That I think that's going to bode well for him. And I think he's going to be all right in Golden State.
Yeah, and bigs take longer. Big men take longer.
I think that's why they had to say that, because if you go out there, you're like, we're not trading you, and then somebody comes offering you something, and then he's gone. You know, you got to be able to hold that out.
I guess the question...
The question, though, is if you're Steph, Draymond, and Klay, and you're in your 30s, and you got one last hurrah this thing, you got one last run, you know, you got time to be developing a, you know, carrying a center, you know what I'm saying? Speedy, well, if you're them, what are you saying? Are you saying bring the young fella with us? We gonna bone him up, well, you know, Marcus, as our replacement,
you know,
Marcus, or what?
I ask you the question because you know that's your, you know, you follow them. You're out there. That's you, right? The Bay Area. If Clay is Clay, you know, mean, and Oubre is there, where would you see the Warriors finishing? I see them finishing way higher than eighth. If Clay is,
oh healthy. Yeah, no question. I mean, look, Steph got him there by himself,
and so I think at least they're six, at least six, yeah. Maybe five.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. And I think you have them six or five. I think Kevon Looney, if he's healthy, then it won't be as much pressure on them. I think they still need a athletic big, a little bit more of a veteran to go with it, and they can add that. But I think with Clay and even with Oubre, this would have been a different team.
Yeah, I think that's the conclusion they made. Like, you add Clay, you add a piece or two, they're right on outside of that top four in the West. And you know, you get in the series, you don't want to see these dudes. You don't see the dudes with three rings. Like, you know, that you in for a battle. And that's all. If you're Draymond Green, you like, just get me in the series, right? Like, you're Steph Curry, get me in the series, and we'll figure it out after that. So you're right. They don't have to do much. But man, Steph, the way Steph ended that season with like two G Leaguers on the court, right? Watts, Scotto Anderson, you know, it's the best player, one of the best players you got. Like, they're sitting down with these guys, like, yo, you got to give me some help. Exactly. And we need it now.
Well, I mean, Marcus, but if you're one of these players that, as a free agent or looking to get a trade, you don't want to go play with the Warriors if you're not, you know what I mean? Like, if you're one of these live big guys,
now
or
you do,
one of these wing guys.
Sure.
Now you do. I mean, I think you look at them and say, what they're bringing back, I could fit in, right? And I think the way Wiggins.
That's why you're trying to get to the Bay, huh, Smitty? That's why he's like, put me in.
I think they're, like you say, they're not too far off. I mean, if you start to look at the Western Conference, they're not too far off.
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, but it's just tough. And it's nothing against Wiseman. I think he's going to be a really, really good player. But it's just a matter. It's just the timing of it. You know what I mean? That window. It's like when after Dallas won the title, and they never put a team around Dirk again that was as good. Like, they didn't even give that team a chance to defend their title. You know what I mean? And so Dirk took less money and less money and less money, and they never put a good team around him again. And you just don't want that to happen to Steph. You know, I don't want to happen to Steph. I don't want him to go out like that. You know, so we'll
get 40 something million though. So he'd be all right if it happens.
I suppose so. They said he's going to get another 200 million. Right?
Yeah. He's going to get another 200.
Yeah.
He gonna be all right, huh?
Man, Smitty, look, man, you've been very gracious with your time, man. I know how difficult it is when you got the fam with you and you're on vacation, man. So, man, thank you for joining us. Thank you for taking the time, man. And man, safe travels, and hopefully, you know, as we get a little more closer to normal, I'll see you in an arena somewhere pretty soon.
Yeah, definitely. And I appreciate you guys always. Keep doing what you do. You guys represent us well.
Man, appreciate it, man. Thank you, Smitty.
Thanks, brother.
NBA champion.
Thank you.
Steve Smith. That's our boy. That's our guy, man. He's been there forever. I love talking to him when he was a player because he could see everything on the floor. He was just, you know, he was a coach on the floor and just a good dude. Just a good dude, man. You know.
Great dude.
Yeah.
Great dude. Yeah.
All right.
But
y'all.
He could play too, though.
Smitty could play now. Oh, no
Smitty
question.
He was a hooper.
No, Smitty could play now. No, he could. He
was nice.
Smart. And, like, you know, he reminds me a lot of a Kyle Anderson, you know, but he was a more talented Kyle Anderson. You know what I'm saying? Like he could shoot.
He
wasn't
that slow.
No, he wasn't slow. He wasn't slow, but he could, you know, he wasn't a leaper, but he knew how to play. Yeah. He was smart, well coached, you know, understood the game. And just a really good player for a lot of good teams for a lot of years. Accepted roles. Very difficult for, like you said, it's hard to accept roles sometimes. And he always accepted his role. So anyway, man, look, y'all, appreciate you joining us. Hope you're enjoying the playoffs. It's been great so far. The first few days have been terrific to me. It's just been one great moment after another. Leave that 5-star review on Apple Podcasts, on Spotify, on iTunes, wherever you are listening to this podcast. Marcus, you got what? Wait, you're doing, what are you writing on? Who are you writing on?
I'm turf hopping, man. I'm all over the place. I'm finishing a Trae Young piece right now.
Yes, that's what.
And
it
I'm you right. know I'm just going all over these streets, man. You know, the Warriors out, so I'm
so you got you got some time on your hand. You and Slater are like, we're covering everybody now.
You know what I'm saying? Like, what are we doing? Who next? You know, let me get my bag a little bit. You know, let the Wizards keep winning. I might have to pull up on your turf.
You like, can come on, come on through. Scraps. Come on through DC, get man. Saturday and Monday, it should be. It should
unlike be. You, I love DC. You know, unlike
love is my home. I love DC. I'm talking about. I'm just saying the Wizards are a couple of players away. They're going in the right direction. They just aren't quite there yet. That's all. You know, Russ has changed it. He's changed the whole dynamic of this squad in 1 year. It's amazing.
Playing with Russ, believe it or not. Like, people who play with him, like we saw Paul George do it. Now we're seeing Bill.
Dude,
like,
check the numbers, man. Guys get, like, career highs playing with this guy. You know what I'm saying? He led the league in assists. What do you want him to, what more you want him to do? He winning. Shoot, they won. They're in the playoffs, you know, which they hadn't been the last 2 years. So,
you know, that's attributable to the legend that is Daniel Gafford, who you always forget about when you talk about
is, he's nice now. They like and I said, they're going in the right direction. They're just a couple players short. That's all. All right, man. We out.
Later.
Like you said, Marcus, it was Magic Johnson and George Gervin. They 6'9" and 6'8". They handled the basketball. So that made me, Gary, Jalen, and Chris stand at our size. We can play point guard. And so everybody wanted to be Magic. My nickname in high school was Irvin Gervin. You couldn't tell me nothing. My high school coach gave me that nickname. Because I said, I'm Magic and I'm George. I can handle and shoot. But like you said, Marcus, somebody allowed Magic Johnson at 6'9 to play point guard, and it just changed the dynamics of the game.